I Won't Be Home for Christmas. Written and read by Amanda Prowse for Saga Egmont. Prologue. As the breeze took the last of the heat out of the long, hot July day, the two friends made their way up the steep, grassy bank and slumped down on the slope of hard-baked ground that flanked the River Maligo in the heart of Bedminster, Bristol. There they lay, side by side in their sleeveless floral shifts, catching their breath with their arms raised above their heads. Their white ankle socks and tan leather T-bar school sandals sat neatly alongside each other in the grass, removed so they could wade in the shallow water. Slipping off the flat rocks, they'd watched the sediment rise between their toes, then tried to cradle sticklebacks in their palms, but the fish had darted away. With neither jar nor net, the girls hadn't quite figured out what they would do if they did manage to catch one. Not that this spoilt their trying, not a bit. The sun-scorched skin of their shoulders stung as they moved. Their pale flesh, usually cloistered under cardigans, was unused to this exposure. But as her nan always said, the quicker you get through the burn, the sooner your skin'll be ready for summer. I'd better be getting back soon, El. My mum'll have my tea on, and it's a good few minutes' walk back to Mendip Road from here. Yeah, mine too. Vivian ignored her friend's fib. She had heard her own mother talking, and knew enough to figure out that Ellen's mum would more than likely be sloshed and dancing round the kitchen. And then it wouldn't be long before the laughter turned to tears, and she'd slide down onto the lino and sit slumped in the corner. And there she would stay, until one of the older kids gently guided her upstairs, where she would fall asleep, face down in her clothes. She didn't like to think of her friend living in a house like that. Come to mine if you like. Vivian knew her mum would give her friend the warmest of welcomes. Everybody loved Ellen. No, you're all right. Reckon we might have egg and chips tonight. Vivian watched her friend's mouth twitch at the prospect, and it made her feel a bit sad. The girls loved each other. Proper love, which meant that so long as they were side by side, all was right in their world. And that world was tiny. It consisted of school, this scrubby stretch of grass in the St. John's burial ground, and their respective homes, which were a mere hop, skip and a jump from each other, but just a little too far to be connected by tin can phones on string. They knew this because they'd tried. It was 1971, and the 8-year-old girls were the very best of friends, and had been, ever since fate had sat them next to each other on their first day of school. Well, fate and an alphabetical system that saw them placed between John Payne and Lindsay Rathbone in the classroom, and also on the register, where Vivian Peebles hovered on the line above Ellen Pinder. They were a comical pairing. Ellen was meaty, with a broad, flattened nose, eyes that were wide and hooded, and fingers that were square and masculine. Even her hair was thick and coarse, with a uniform kink to every strand. Vivian was the opposite, slight and shorter, with fine hair, pale skin and narrow wrists. They flopped back on the grass, breathing deeply and watching the clear blue sky overhead. Ellen turned on her side, shook her short bobbed hairdo and propped her large head on her wide palm. I have to tell you what happened to me today, but you must not tell a single living soul ever. Vivian mirrored her friend's posture. Cross my heart. She drew an X over her chest with her index finger. Her eyes were wide at the prospect of what Ellen might reveal. She'd learnt about so many things from her wise friend. Periods, illegitimacy, the music of the Jackson Five, and syphilis were just a few of the topics that she'd been enlightened on in the last few years. Ellen had explained that this was the benefit of having older siblings. They knew stuff. Sometimes, as thunder cracked over Bristol and darkness cloaked the city, Vivian would stare at the thick curtains of the box room where she slept and think about the tantalising information that her friend had shared. She felt waves of guilt and fascination for these snippets of wickedness, certain that neither her mum nor her grandma could know about such things. And the idea of mentioning them to either, oh my good Lord.